Welcome to the Cryptomaniacs Podcast. Join Taskmaster 4450 and John G. Olson each and every week as they dive into the crazy world of cryptocurrency. If you are new to crypto or you've been through a few bear markets in the past, this podcast is for you. It's time to start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome. Did you like that that reverb I just did on my voice task?
Very impressive. Your creativity and innovation always amazes me. I'm very
mind-blowing stuff.
It is. You're a very impressive individual, Mr. Olson.
My mom said I'd be something one day when I grew up. Welcome, everybody, to the Cryptomaniacs podcast on this glorious December the 7th. Do you know what today is, Task, by any chance? Did you see my earlier threads this morning?
No, I was on the road traveling, so I didn't, you know, I was traveling. I drove for 2 hours, and then I spent the rest of the afternoon capturing music. So I didn't really have a great deal of time to see what was going on in the threading world. So what did you thread out? What information did you reveal to the world?
Today is my 6th anniversary on the blockchain.
Very good. Okay.
That's 6 years, man. 6 years of being on the hive, man.
Yeah.
On the hive.
We're about the same age. Nifty's right in there. I think Nomad Soul's right in there.
Yeah, Eric's same round.
So I started in August of 2017, and Nifty was right around then. I think Eric was a little ahead of us, ahead of me. But, yeah, I mean, congrats. It's, you know, 6 years. Pretty impressive.
It's funny because it came at quite a time for me in my life. And I always, obviously I'll do a big post about it probably next week, you know, just kind of like, oh, you know, sweet memories of joining the blockchain. But what a ride, man. 6 years. Seen a lot. Seen a lot. Thank you, Anthony. Said happy 6th. I appreciate it. And hello, Lisa. Welcome.
It was amazing that we mentioned, like, last week, Hive's going to be 4 in March. I mean, it's like, good God, has it been 4 years? But, yeah, 2024 will be 4 years. So, yeah, fun ride. And Lisa's my new idol. I work for Lisa. I told you my goal is to get Lisa off of Spotify, or at least stop paying Spotify. And
right,
I will not rest until Lisa publicly announces I'm done paying Spotify. So we got to get enough music on Leo to get Lisa off Spotify.
That's our goal.
That's the goal.
Our goal, Lisa, is to get you off Spotify, off paying for Spotify, and just be on Leo.
Yeah, I don't give a shit if she uses it for free.
Right.
But I want her to stop that credit card payment, you know.
Say no. Keep the money in her pocket.
Yeah, so we need to get music on Leo big enough so Lisa can go to Spotify and tell him to drop dead.
Yeah, I'm almost done this book, Amanda Cassatt's Web3 marketing book. I bought this a couple weeks ago, and it's pretty much done. That's kind of the topic of tonight. Web3, man, and you know, this crazy stuff that we call Web3. This is what I like to think actual Web3, though, because we can actually, you know, be on a decentralized blockchain like Hive, use the applications without spending a mortgage payment on gas fees. Interesting book, man. I know you're not a big book guy. I know you and I totally understand the reason why. It's not that you read a ton. It's just you believe that this stuff is going to go out of style in a couple of years from now. So,
even online, let me explain. And this goes back to what we've talked about with the ebb and flow information that you talked about, the type of posts. And I'm going to be writing a post about this, in fact, and it's one of the problems of Hive, is the degradation of information. And I've used this example. If I write an article today about ABC stock and their earnings on Tuesday, by Tuesday evening, that article is worthless. And somebody reading that article 5 years from now is not going to care what I thought. I mean, they probably won't think about it now, but they're not going to care what I thought about ABC potential earnings 5 years ago. Right. And, you know, that's the case. I mentioned that with your goals stuff. I mean, not even you care about what your April goals, third week in April goal post was, because, you know, you're long past that. And, you know, that's the problem with information in general online. Then you put it in book form. By the time the book reaches publication, it's so old. You know, that now there's certainly obviously books out there that are timeless, that are timeless lessons. You can get self-help, motivation. But, you know, it's think about a book about online marketing or online business building that was written in 2008 or 2006. I mean, what utility would it have today? It'd have none. Right. You know, a book about, you know, President Lincoln, or a book about, you know, history, or a book about, I mean, you know, timeless classics. And I'm talking nonfiction, timeless classics like Think and Grow Rich and stuff like that. As a Man Thinketh, you know, those are timeless because they don't degrade. The information doesn't degrade. But
guess what?
What?
Guess what? Our special guest has arrived.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to bring him up. He's here.
Okay.
And I mentioned, I'll bring him up, and then we'll do all the introductions and everything, and then it's story time with Jongo for a bit. But let's bring him up, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, Mr. Rob Willman, aka Hello. Three Steps on the Blockchain. Hello, sir. How you doing? How's the mic?
Hey, how are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's bald, Pask.
Yes, I see that.
I'm what?
You're bald.
Oh yeah. See, it's the we need to call this the old bald guy show.
Yeah, exactly. I love it. I love it. So Rob's here, Task, and there's a reason he's up. Like I mentioned earlier, hope you guys, both you, Rob and Task, hope you guys just, you know, take a minute here because I'm gonna go on a John story. So I got
my handkerchief ready so I can.
I basically, yeah, Task, like, you know, Task can basically fall asleep here and go threading if he wants. But anyways, so 6 years ago, I found this blockchain, and my background was affiliate marketing, online business, etc. And people that know my story know the whole history of it. I come from this program called Click Track Profit. I started this program back, it was like 2010, 2011-ish, around then. The whole goal was to gamify the online educational experience for marketers. Like, let them actually enjoy their time learning this stuff. Learn by doing. And we had a ton of success over the decade. It was just, it was a blast. But then April of 2017 happened, and PayPal came knocking. And PayPal basically said, even though you've been using us for 17 years, no rhyme or reason. Hey, see you later. It was nice knowing you. Sayonara. So I'm sitting there, don't know what to do. Completely, you know, I'm spinning my wheels for a couple of months. But lo and behold, I was into crypto before that. I'd started mining Bitcoin and Litecoin 2015-ish, 2014. So I was relatively early to it, but I kind of lost the interest in it for whatever reason. But got back into it that summer. And you'll know, Tass, that's kind of like the summer of like everyone started getting excited about crypto again. Like the bull market, the $10,000 Bitcoin was coming, and just people were losing their mind. I stumbled across this blockchain, and this blockchain changed my life. It saved my life. Not only changed it saved it. And I'm talking about Hive. I'm not even going to call it the previous name because that's it doesn't matter. It's Hive. It'll always be Hive to me now. So I'm finding this thing, and I kind of have this aha moment. Like, this crypto stuff is perfect for online businesses. This crypto stuff is perfect for online marketers, affiliate marketers, online businesses who, first of all, want a much more secure method of payment, because obviously credit card companies can pull the carpet from under your feet. PayPal very evidently can completely ruin you. I mean, there's you wanted custody, self-custody of your finances. You wanted to be in control, and crypto just fit the bill. So this idea to merge affiliate marketing with the blockchain, this blockchain specifically, was a no-brainer. So slowly we're bringing more and more people from affiliate marketing over to the blockchain. Rob obviously being one of them, but Lisa being another, Eliana, Rich Taylor, I mean, Anthony Slate. I mean, you see all these names in YouTube here. These are all people that came from the ClickTrack Profit community, affiliate marketing community, over to the blockchain. So we've done a really good job of basically introducing, let's say, with all the products we've been bringing to market. I don't know how to do this without getting too sappy, Rob. I'm trying not to go too sappy, you know.
Just be sappy.
Just be sappy.
Well, it's your show, bro.
Well, Task is very quiet because I think he's waiting to like make fun of me for shedding the tear here live on cam. but life happens, and I've been doing this online marketing stuff now for pretty much 20 plus years. To be honest with you, I've fallen out of love with it. That's the short end of the stick here, is that I've basically fallen out of love with online marketing. It was a good fight. I had 20 plus years. I've had great success. I've had immaculate failures. But I've enjoyed my time. And because of that, Eliana and I were kind of discussing back and forth, like, you know, it's time to just, you know, knock on wood, thanks for the memories. Let's see if we can find someone to take control and take over the ClickTrack Profit community. And thankfully, Rob stepped up. And Rob has been around this community for years. He's developed some really cool platforms. The Three Steps Today, his account is Three Steps. A passionate guy who loves this program, this community. I guess tonight is kind of the public announcement that Eliana and I are stepping away from CTP, from ListNerds, from those programs, and Rob is going to be leading the charge. I think it's great because it's a fresh set of eyes. He's passionate about it. He'll have a new approach to doing this stuff. Where, you know, I'm just beat, man. I mean, brutally honest with you guys, I'm beat. I'm tired, and it's not because I hate anything or anything like that. I gave it my all, man. CTP for, you know, 13, 14 years plus, affiliate marketing for 20 plus. Yeah, my passion is this blockchain. My passion is right now is what I'm doing now with this podcast, with Town Hall, with Hive, with Leo. I mean, that's where my heart is. And I think it's doing CTP a disservice if I'm sitting there, you know, twiddling my thumbs while Rob can really lead this program into the new year and forward. So that was I didn't cry, but that's the story. We'll go over a little bit more and discuss it and what's going to happen. But welcome, Rob. You're going to get your badge, man. And funny getting a badge on the blockchain, especially with the history of CTP and all the badges that CTP developed over the years. But welcome, man. Welcome to the show. It's as the new owner and manager of the craziness that is CTP.
The Unicorn Corral.
Yeah.
So the goal, I think, with thanks, John, for that. There will be a quiz later, by the way, on each point he, you know, that he went though. Thanks, man. I appreciate the very kind words. It seemed like this sort of came along right at the right time. I had talked to John about me possibly purchasing into CTP or buying it. And then lo and behold, if you pay attention to the big semiconductor news, Broadcom purchased VMware for $61 billion. And it was a pretty large, you know, it's a really large acquisition. Mm-hmm. It was a hostile takeover. And when that happened, they decided that the group that I was in, my theory is that it was, in my opinion, an algorithm because they chopped people three up from me down. So it wasn't just like the layer that I was at within the software company, and I was doing pretty well there, but it was way up the chain. So when I got let go a couple of weeks ago, I was like, well, this seems like, you know, if I was looking for this time to say, you know what, I really want to just do what my passion is, which is what John's passion was, which is the affiliate marketing and internet marketing, you know, then I said, sure, I'll step up and do this, because I didn't want to see CTP run down, you know, like a clock. I wanted to see it propel. And I thought, okay, how can I take this and tie it more into the blockchain? How can I make this more integrated into Hive? And so I know some PHP and some programming from my background in software. And my thought was I can take this and run with it. So yeah, I'm doing this full time. It's my full time gig now. So that's what I'll be doing, like full time. So we'll see how this goes. Well, I say full time, John, but my wife immediately plants a furniture store here in my small town. You know, we start slinging furniture in the spot here in town that we were on a waiting list for a year. And now I've got, you know, an offline gig right around the corner to help us supplement our income doing that too. So it just seems sort of providential that all of these pieces just sort of fell into order right at the right time. And it made my decision to, you know, make a crypto purchase, the largest amount of crypto I have ever moved from fiat into crypto at any one time, I will say. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. But it was, you know, I think it's a worthwhile investment simply because, if nothing else, the community, the people that are involved, you know, there's just a hell of a, you know, I don't know how to put it, a reputation involved with CTP that if I were to go to any other mailer, any other place, any other, you know, training platform and say, you know, and look at what they have, I would find, you know, maybe the same material-ish, but it wouldn't be the community that John had built, you know, and that's what I liked is the fact that there's this brand that CTP takes care of you, you know, and I'm like, I wanted to sort of propel that. Mm-hmm. So that's my take.
So a couple of housekeeping things, just because, you know, obviously this is big news on, you know, not only my life, but your life and you know, even Task's life. So
you get this guy more full time.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. 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 Just sorry, dude. Should have told him that. Now he's going to run. But so there's obviously a transitional phase. If you guys, nothing is changing for everyone on the back end of
exactly.
it.
Like
you
guys,
yeah. You'll still log in. It's still going to be there. The account. So the problem with CTP is that there's so much stuff in Hive that's integrated into it. So we discussed it and we'll transfer ownership of the ClickTrack Profit account over to Rob. You know, so that will be the, right now, the John G. Olson account is the distributor of the CTP token. The CTP token will be distributed by a ClickTrack profit. That's just done in the back end. That's nothing. So nothing really changes for people. That's what we want to make. Really, yeah. Nothing for anyone that's using this. The token's still there. Everything's still
there. More CTP.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, absolutely. And it's still the token. So CTPX, that's Eliane and I. We're keeping CTPX. The token on CTPX is still CTP. So CTPX will be purchasing CTP off the market like we're doing each and every day. So nothing, again, nothing really changes there. What changes for you guys, this is the big thing. This year, we lost our developer. Health reasons, he had to step away. And because of that, Eliana and I were kind of like handcuffed. Like, we're both, Eliana is brilliant. She's, you know, she's been keeping this stuff afloat. I don't know how she does it, but she's been doing it. But if you don't have development happening, things just get stagnant. So what was really important for us is that Rob has a technical background. He understands this stuff. Now, while, you know, he's not obviously blockchain developer 101 here, he has the background. He has the background to know this stuff. So he'll be able to do a lot more for this platform than Eliana and I could ever do. And that's what was critical to us, was that we are leaving this to a capable person who's not just going to say, oh, okay, well, you
with,
know.
With lots of grays, come on now, that's a low, oh, you know, I mean.
Oh,
I
no, she's talking
I,
about
I don't dye my beard like John does. So
I don't dye my beard. I promise, sir. God's my witness. I do not dye my beard. I have no hair. That's the only thing. Like, you know.
Right. Me either.
So I'll ask Task, because Task, this is news, you know, to you as well. Like, well, obviously you knew that I was going to announce this, but I mean, as a token holder, you know, any questions about this, any concerns that you might be echoing from the community or anything like that pull you in?
No, it's, I mean, I've been very open and consistent with what I look for in a project. And there's two types of projects, that are developing and moving forward and those that are dead. I mean, that's just the way it is. We're dealing with technology. And if you don't have development, if you don't have growth, if you don't have adding things to your platforms, these are digital platforms. If you're not adding to it, you're done. You're done. And I don't care if it's Web 3, Web 2. I don't care what you call it. I mean, if you have a 7-year-old website and nothing's been updated, you're done. And, you know, people, too often we see in the crypto world, especially on Hive with these layer twos, people say, well, I got a token. And it's like, yeah, but what the hell's going on with that project? Well, I'm investing ABC token. Yeah, but what the hell's going on with the project? Oh, I don't know, but the tokens are going to be worth a lot of money. No, it's a dead deal. So, you know, I knew when Blaine stepped away that there were some tough headwinds, and I understood it was a temporary situation, but a long-term temporary situation. So the fact that somebody steps in who has a development background and can actually get in there and start hacking away at the code and start developing stuff and building, you know, this is a time for builders.
Yeah,
and we talk about technical builders and non-technical builders. Unfortunately, the non-technical builders, we come after the technical builders because, you know, you have to build the infrastructure and they have to keep the stuff running. And so
that was
nothing but positives.
That's what I did for VMware. That's the software company I worked for that got bought out. My title at the end was Senior Solutions Architect. So what I did was read disparate stereo instructions from different vendors and told people, you've got your product over here that's shitting out metrics of a certain type on CPU, memory, disk, and network. That's your core infrastructure. But you've also got this other stuff that your developers are doing. So when you see these CPU spikes, you've got this other data over here, and here's how you can aggregate it and pull it all together. And I would work with their guys to enact solutions of saying, okay, you've got a data lake over here that's got this kind of data, and you've got this over here like this, and what APIs can we use, and what kind of things can we pull together that then makes a more gestalt picture that you need to run, you know, Lyft, Reddit, Box, Workday, and, you know, the customers that we worked with every day. So it was this huge, you know, some of our customers were crapping 6 million points per second at us of telemetry, you know. So when you're dealing with that much data, it's, you know, you can't afford to mess up too much. So for me, it was like the data was, the devil was in the details. And that's the whole point. I just read the stereo instructions. And when I can't figure it out, I just hire other people that are smarter than me. And I'm not very smart. I'm a drummer. So, you know, I just look, I mean, really, I've got a drum set like right there. I'm just
saying, ask, you should tell them about Music on Leo.
No, see, I'm the worst kind of developer. I have zero degrees in coding. I learned it all on the job. So I'm an old school PHP coder, but I also know a good deal of other stuff that I've had to learn over the years. But at this point, it was more about, I really like how to, you know, I know how to put together a marketing funnel of, hey, here's how you start people with a lead capture page to pique their interest. You drip feed them some material that's genuine, that has value in and of itself to where they want to actually open your emails. And then at that point, when you have something relevant for them, that's a recommendation that you use theirself, you know, it's the old recipe John uses and it actually works. It's just no one's going to be the hamster on the treadmill if you're not doing it. Right. And right now I look at all these folks that are just regurgitating the same old stuff all over the internet. And I think to myself, somebody needs to pick up and be the torchbearer for Let's Take Affiliate Marketing on the Hive. Not to flood Hive with affiliate marketing, but to use the blockchain as the back end for the stuff, you know?
That brings up a really good point, dude. Like this is something that, you know, that I've discussed over the years. And I think this is a lesson that everyone on Hive can learn from. It's relationships. It's like you will get more results. And I see this. I started seeing this the past couple of weeks on Leo where people were throwing affiliate links into their threads. And it always struck me as such a weird way of doing it, because the background that I've learned over the years with affiliate marketing was always build a relationship. Then you don't have to pitch affiliate links. If you build a relationship, if you worry about adding value to someone's journey, if you worry about building that engagement with them, they look forward to hearing from you. You look forward, genuinely look forward to hearing from them. You'll never have to sell, I'm using bunny ear quotes here, a day in your life.
Right.
And that's great. You know, so I would love to hear your take on that. And, you know, like if you think that's where things are headed, well, hopefully with CTP, but like it'd be like where you see affiliate marketing on chain going.
Well, I'll give you a good, yeah, I think relationships have to be front and center. I mean, a good example of that has to be, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but one of the people that's in your comments here, which is Lisa Gentile, I reached out to her and said, hey, because you know this brand really well, you know the commodity that CTP, she sort of, the way I put it is the two of us, we both drink the Kool-Aid, right? So, you know, it's a good training platform and it's a good marketing platform and we both use it. So I've asked Lisa to, you know, come on board and help me with this as well, just to keep, you know, me on the straight and narrow, because, you know, I think that everything, you know, sort of needs boundaries and checks. And Lisa is just extraordinarily good at what she does. She's way consistent. And, you know, that relationship part of what you talk about, that's a good example. The reason why she was the one that I went to was because I had built a relationship over time by watching what she did based largely on stuff that John was teaching people. You know, and it's like some people get it and they'll stick around on the blockchain and they'll make those relationships. And then suddenly affiliate marketing isn't so much that. It's like, hey, you know, I've got, I might have 4,000 people in here. When I drop a link on there, hey, that's great. You know, but how many people do you need? Do you need 4,000 people to sell, you know, to have 40 links click to make 4 sales? Mm-hmm. Or do you need 4 people that know, like, and trust you that will click it? Exactly. And, you know, you don't need 4,000. You only need 4.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it. So, you know, my whole thing is I do like building relationships, you know, and I bring a lot to this. And one of the reasons I was really attracted to this, John, was when I worked at the software company, I was a certified courseware developer. They trained me on how to use the ADDIE model, assess, design, develop, implement, and evaluate. And just do that in a circle and just make better and better training. So I know how to use Camtasia. I know how to create all the training stuff. So what I looked at this as, this is a great training platform. So let's take this training platform and answer the needs of these people that are somehow at this level where, look, if you're going to start out on affiliate marketing and suddenly you realize you need an autoresponder, need this, and you need everything that's in Leitz's pizza plan, right? And you think about it, it's about $75. How much of that can you reduce in cost if you simply use blockchain-based methodologies? You use it for, okay, put it on Twitter, sure, but at the same time, use in Leo. Thanks, Taskmaster. I'll be using it a bit more, you know, but this kind of stuff, as I look at it, and I was like, there are Hive equivalents that have an audience enough. And even if I'm not reaching them, the content earns money that offsets the cost necessary to do off-chain online affiliate marketing, right? It's, you get to the point to where I don't have to go to click on CTPX. I do it because it's John's platform and I like to see the names at the top of the people that are on the treadmill, you know, because those are the people that I'm interested in. Well, what are their needs? They obviously need traffic, you know? So, and then I just think about how I can feed this into stuff. Right now, I just look at CTPS. It's a great training platform. I need to train people on how to do that transition onto, hey, it's great if you're doing affiliate marketing. You know, it's even hornier than that. Affiliate marketing on Hive.
Right.
You pay for the cost of your affiliate marketing to everybody else. And you don't pollute the well that earns you the money that you make for doing this. You know?
Rob, if I could ask a question here. Django and I have talked about it quite often. But do you see a difference or... maybe it's more of a supplement or a compliment, but when we talk about branding and the traditional branding online, you know, Web 2 branding, what people try to go through. And now that we have Web 3 or the foundation of Web 3 or whatever you want to call it, do you think there's a difference in approach? How does it all tie together? And what would be some of your thoughts in terms of, okay, maybe we got to change some of the training here because branding takes on something different in Web3. Because one of the things I've noticed is, you know, a lot of affiliate marketing, and I'm by no means an expert in affiliate marketing, but, you know, the idea of affiliate marketing is you go through all these steps and you take all this action to try to get people to do something, which at the end is you want them to buy something. Now, you obviously want them to sign up for your newsletter first. You want them to take a free audio course or whatever the process is. But ultimately, you want them to spend money with you. That's why you're in business.
Right.
But I found with Hive and with a lot of the things CTP put together, you were making money by going through the process, whether they bought anything at the end of the day or not. And so that changes things. And then all of a sudden, your brand is a lot more important because it's such a smaller community and you're being rewarded based upon your brand as opposed to how many people you spam.
That's not a bad way of looking at it, although, okay, so I'm just trying to think of another way or method okay, the decentralization part, John mentioned earlier, hey, PayPal really raked us over the coals, you know, and it was sort of this real problem because my payment processor tanked on us and what do we do, right? And that sucks. I'm really sorry that happened. But with a decentralized platform, at least it mitigates for the marketer, somebody like Wix or somebody that comes along, because let's say that you sell a product that, I mean, if I'm vulgar, let's say you sell something like dildos. I mean, it's, you know, if even if you sell something like that, or that's what your affiliate marketing is for, you know, for whatever it is that you're selling, sometimes it pays to have your stuff decentralized so that you won't have problems simply because people are like, well, your product offends my morality. Well, buddy, I wasn't selling that to you, you know? And so the way I look at it is, look, I'm a devout Christian, so I'm not going to open an online dildo shop. Thanks, Taskmaster. I know in our private chat you were asking me to, but I'll just politely turn it down.
Nifty's in the audience too, so you never know, you know.
I'm just gaslighting him. My whole thing is I'm a devout Christian, so I wouldn't do that. But the freedom that I have to express my beliefs on chain or off chain means that I absolutely have to respect the beliefs of other people and their right to express those beliefs, whether I agree or disagree with them or not. You know, and so that for me is something that Hive hugely represents, is this decentralized voice, to where if you don't like the fact that as a former minister, I sometimes drop F-bombs, okay, go listen to somebody else, but you're not going to take me down. Mm. You're not going to bitch to somebody that's going to get my podcast taken down if I posted it on Hive. I can give you the double barrel middle fingers for that. You know, that's what I like Hive for. I like Hive for the fact that, no, I'm not using it for that, but I appreciate the fact that it is decentralized. You know, I really like that. And once I started thinking about the money, I'm like, Hive back dollar really makes sense, because I use Litecoin with John, and I don't think I ever want to use Coinbase again. I hate living in the U.S.
That's your guys's hangup.
I wish we would change that. Did you see where, who it was, the lead for Citibank Corp or whatever, went in front of the Fed Reserve and all them in one of their closed meetings and basically said, get rid of all crypto, it sucks?
Oh, that was Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan. Shut down Bitcoin. Yeah, good luck with that, buddy.
It's horrible. It's He thinks it's all just
That's what this represents. That's
it's
what
math.
Obviously the crypto and blockchain, but why?
Mathematics.
Well, why it represents a change for affiliate marketing and online businesses? Because you're not under the scrutiny. Like, it's like this thing. We're grown adults. I don't need someone telling me what I can and cannot do with my own money, especially if I earned it through building businesses online.
Yeah.
But according to the powers that be, they have every right to tell you what you can and cannot do. And that's what Hive represents, because Hive, Bitcoin, these are decentralized chains.
I need to move this so that people can see that it's actually Einstein with his tongue sticking out in the background. So, you know, I'll move my monitor better. There we go. Yeah, perfect. You know, that's what I think of, you know, banking and Coinbase in particular. Ugh, that just churns my stomach. I wonder how much money they made off of me during that time period.
Oh, it's amazing, man.
They just float your money, Task. I know if you've dealt with them, I had to wait for the money, and I was just like,
the anti-nanny state. I like it, Lisa.
They will take it in a heartbeat, but they divvy it out over time, you know. But
well, this is why Hive is so, you know, powerful, because it's like you said, it's HBD. Like, and you know, for CTPX, for Eliana and I, we took it all out. It's HBD only now. We got rid of the stupid PayPal stuff. We got rid of we want HBD because we believe it's a better option for online businesses. It's a much better option. Now, this is what I wanted to ask both of you, actually. This brings us to the biggest trouble facing this blockchain and crypto overall, and that's ease of use and onboarding. One of the hardest things in the world is to tell someone, hey, I know you've been using PayPal for 20 years and you're so used to having, you trust them with your bank account information, but you got to check out this decentralized blockchain. Well, yeah, no, it's not available on Coinbase. It's not available on Binance. It's actually got an internal market inside of the blockchain. Well, then you got to learn about Hive and you got to learn about Hive Power. And then you got to, there's so many layers to it. How can we make that easier for people coming in and going, okay, here, presto, instead of going through Coinbase, instead of going through Binance? How do we make this easier?
Every time I hear somebody asking that, it's like, why are you trying to give people Google in 1989? It's the technology's not there. The ease of use comes from developers. They have to build.
Yeah.
And so what you have is you have, I mean, there's obviously Hives and Island. We know that. We're not on Coinbase. We're not on any of the major exchanges. And we won't be, because I have a feeling if regulation comes down the way it is, we're going to be pushed aside and they're not going to touch us. So we need the liquidity pools. We need the DEXs. We need all of that. But in terms of the ease of use, I remember I had a roommate who was taking lessons on how to use the internet. I mean, he used to pay a girl to show up and they'd sit at the computer and she'd teach him about a web browser. This was like in 1997. And it's like, you know, that's the way the mentality was. You're trying to teach people about keys when they're in a username password world. Yeah. And it's a different world. And right now, we're in the trailblazers, we're in the early adopters, we're in the geeks, we're in the adventurers, we're in the renegades, we're into the people who are not the mainstream. The mainstream, it's going to take a while till these tools are to the point where it's like you press a couple buttons and you're there.
But that's the difficulty, is the bigger organizations have that push the button and you're there. A good example, you brought it up. You said it's not Google in the 1980s or 90s or whenever it was that Alta Vista got hosed by Google. Yeah, that's a good one, right? Or Lycos, Dogpile, Webcrawler. Yeah, I remember all those. That's how old I am. But Google, when you would go to sign up for something, it used to be that you had to sign up. Everything was username, password, right? Oh, you want to sign in with Google? You got to put username and password. Now, when you go to something that uses Google's OAuth or open authentication, you go there and it says sign in with Google. You click a button with your thumb. You click whatever Gmail profile it is that you have open on your phone. Click. You did not have to open this virtual keyboard at the bottom of your phone to type in your email address and click submit and then re-authenticate the email. It's just, nope, this phone is tied to Google. Google trusts this phone. So if you open auth to that device with Google, the password gets authenticated and passed through with their thumb. They don't have to type. And that's what we're dealing with. It's not so much ease. That's the kind of ease of use that we need to get to. We need to skip this intermediary layer of getting people to used to keys. Forget that. We need to get developers used to the point where, hey, it's really simple. You trust your device? Okay. Well, guess what? We'll create a key and store it in your Google Drive for you. Just keep it secure. And therefore, there's your key. And just Google open auth it directly into Hive, where all they got to do is press a couple times on their phone and they don't need to copy pots, nothing. Why hasn't anybody developed that?
Well, Hive
auth. We don't want to tie it to Google.
Right? Yeah, well, yeah, that's
open auth, right? But we'd have to do something that simple, right? And open auth is a technology, because that's not Google based, that's just open authentication. But you could use OAuth and create something like that. But the difficulty is, what is the trusting authority that then lets you?
And that's the problem with something like Hive, which is 100% decentralized. And a lot of the developers that Hive attracts are, we don't want anything centralized.
Yeah, they don't want to use any of the centralized stuff, right? But just like with ListNerds, ListNerds is a centralized product. It's a SaaS service. It's You know, I look at ClickTrack Profit as SaaS, it's software as a service, you know. And it's the same thing with this, you know, from the business perspective. If I had to pitch this to some upper level people to get capital to float something, it was, you know, I own SaaS businesses that largely teach people how to use other SaaS businesses. But at the same time, what's the difficulty that we have currently with Hive? If it is ease of use, okay, why isn't that where our best minds are doing it? Because that centralization that you're talking about also applies here. It's decentralized. It's a bunch of random cats. Have you ever tried to herd cats? You can't herd cats. Developers are like cats, but with coffee. You know? I mean, that's just how it is, you know, trying to get them to go, you know, to get them to do any one thing consistently over time towards for the betterment of all, you know, maybe that's what we need is, you know, hey, if there's a feature request that would get people on the Hive the fastest, what's it going to be? Maybe it's not music on Hive. Maybe it's just authentication, ease of use with keys, get rid of them. Just use some other way. The only problem is, how do you do that without being recursive and storing them on the key, the blockchain itself?
Yeah,
that's what you currently do, right?
Yeah, Paul brings up a really good point. You know, Keychain makes Hive easier once you get the hang of it. So that's what's really cool. Like, once you understand Hive, it makes total sense. Total sense. Like, Hive Keychain, stupid simple. Even the app on your phone, brilliant.
Easy
to use. The problem is that disconnect from moment to join to, hey, I'm downloading Keychain now.
Yeah. Or people that we're talking about, affiliate marketers. Okay, I went through all these steps, like what Task was saying. I jumped through a whole bunch of steps so that I can make money at the end. Okay, now what? I'm on Hive. Now what? There's 20 different front ends and this, you know, and then they're like, well, what do I do? You know,
well, maybe then I believe there's also the problem. You're right. You get on Hive, but what's there to do? Like you said, you have 20 front ends, but they're all about blogging. What services are really provided on Hive? What
gaming
on Hive? Where do you go for your news? People on Hive go to Twitter for their news. Why? Because there's no news on Hive. Where do they go for their music? They go to Spotify. Where do they go for their videos? They go to YouTube. Where do they go for everything? You know, we don't have financial services. We don't have entertainment. We don't really have timely information. You know, so we always talk about the fact of how hard it is to onboard people. It's like, well, what are you onboarding them with? What's your sales pitch? What are you selling them on? And what is going to keep them here? And, you know, Splinterlands is probably our greatest success story. And, you know, for people who like that type of game, okay, that's pretty cool. But that's until about
the box took over.
Yeah, well, you know, but that's not a huge audience either compared to, you know, what else is out there. And we don't seem to be creating this stuff. Everybody says, well, we all just go on to Web 2 and talk about Web 3 and try to push people over. It's like, okay, what are they going to do when they get here?
Right.
You know, it's like, well, they can blog. Well, we don't want to talk about blogging for money. That's taboo because it doesn't work. So what are you going to talk about? And, you know, that's my problem is we don't have the services. And, you know, I think affiliate marketing on the blockchain, I mean, tying that in and incorporating it more into CTP, I think, you know, I don't know what the vision is that you have with it, but I think that sounds like a great idea conceptually. And I think it has a lot of potential.
So if people are using CTP as a method to train, which is largely what I'm looking at, you've got something you want looked at, throw it in the gauntlet, people will review it. You got something that you're working on, you got a lead capture page, you got all these tools that are right there. By the way, the lead capture page tool is still relevant today. It still works today. Yeah, it creates, you know, a flat Web 2.0 based web page, but we still need those in the Web 3.0 world, right? So you create those, you can use them to tie into all kinds of stuff. There's multiple ways to do it. Oh, by the way, Crystal Spider, it's 100% right about OAuth was, you know, talking about the other methods. But CTP with all this stuff, I'm sitting there thinking, Okay, how much of this could we say, you know what, is an easy way to do training where not only can you get immediate feedback, but you can get some compensation that can help pay you for the cost of your first, you know, web server price that you're going to be paying for, you know, the first $5.99 a month, you know, $5 a month website that has your own domain name that you're going to need, because we tell people you need a domain name. So it's not everything free. So you can brand yourself. If that's Web 2.0 branding, how do you tie that into 3.0? Well, you can at least use 3.0 for the methodology to pay for the 2.0.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that was always the goal of CTP, was to teach people to use the stuff they're using every day, but let it self-fund so you don't need to go into your bank. You can literally invest your time, build the network, grow your brand on chain that will eventually build for you to do whatever you needed to do in the 2.0 world.
Yeah. I bought Plus One Success off of John with Hive. You know, there's a great use case for it. The value of Hive. I paid him in Hive flat out for that.
Don't tell Task too loud, because he'll be, why didn't you use HBD? You idiot, John. Yeah.
Well, that was a little while back.
It was a long time.
Let's not tell him. I think he's asleep. Oh, wait.
No, I understand the limitations of HBD. I mean, we are an island right now, and that is problematic for Hive. I think it's a temporary measure, and that's why I'm so high on BSC and what they're working on. But yes, it's a problem that we don't have. I mean, you talk about onboarding people from the financial angle. It's a very difficult, especially for us in the United States, to onboard in and offboard now that BlockTrade's closed that down. Right. I mean, how do we get in and out of Hive? It's very, very difficult. And so, I mean, that's something that certainly has to be resolved. HBD is a wonderful, wonderful a coin, except if you have to get it to the U.S. dollar in the U.S., it's very difficult. And the other way, going from fiat, you know, U.S. dollar to HBD, very difficult. You basically are stuck doing OTC deals. Mm. You know, so somebody who has, you know, is willing to wire you, you know, a couple grand or whatever, because they trust you, and you send them a couple grand of HBD or whatever numbers you're talking about. But outside of that, it's a nightmare right now.
Yeah. So who's working on that?
Well, VSC's looking at building a Hive to BTC, then ultimately LTC bridge, which that at least gets you into the outside world, even if they're not the best transfer, you know, of value mechanisms. And then, you know, ultimately, I think the goal is EVMs, which it gets you into the USDC and that type of thing. And also liquidity pools. Leo is working on liquidity pools. And I think Speak is also going to be working on some liquidity pools where you can go in and throw your Hive into a liquidity pool and get out, you know, through the DEX. You can get out, you know, USDC or whatever you need to get to your Coinbase, which you love. But, you know, I mean, if you're going in and out of fiat, you're not going to get away from the centralized exchanges. That's just not going to happen. But, you know, if you can do more and more stuff in the circular economy and stay within crypto, then HBD is actually a very fine tool.
It's just a matter of dealing with Coinbase.
Yeah.
You guys,
they're the new PayPal, John.
Oh, dude, like it's funny. I saw Brian Armstrong a couple weeks ago on Task. You remember I shared that with you. He's chirping off about, you know, we need decentralization, this, that, and the third. And I'm like, you SOB, you're the most centralized. I love off the government, and I'll do anything the government says. Like, please spare me the preaching of how you love decentralization. The only thing you have on there that's decentralized is Bitcoin. Everything else is a centralized poop coin. Thank you for coming to my TED talk. So
right.
Yeah. Anyways.
So I have a question for y'all. I don't know how to quite bring this one up, but how do you answer someone that says that their holdings in a coin that has no volume is worth a mad amount of money?
That's Task and I have talked about this. This is the problem with layer two on Hive, is that we even the biggest coin on layer two that has the most volume, which is DEC, it's only like $80,000 a day. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, when it comes to crypto,
that's not much. That's a drop in the bucket.
Nothing. And so anyone that sits there and goes, oh, the value of my token is all of this because this is what Hive Engine says it is. No, no, not at all. It's the volume. Do you have buyers for it? Do you have sellers? Is it liquid?
Can you get liquid? In and out if you want? What can you get paid? I mean, it's like trading penny stocks. Oh, well, this I have $150 million in this penny stock. Dude, it trades about $5,000 a day. You don't have $150 million of anything because you're, if you try to sell it, the price would just crash. I mean, it comes down to liquidity. And, you know, I can sit here and say, oh, I got all this money in Leo. I mean, I can't sell 500,000 Leo. I mean, right. I would kill the price. I would crush the market. Right. So, you know, you need the liquidity, and that's where it that kind of ties into the tentacles reaching out of Hive being an island. Not only do you need the ability to be linked to other things, you need the liquidity there. I mean, we need to be able to move
really to a bunch of different pools of different types of currencies.
Well, that, and also realistically, somebody needs to be able to dump $50,000 worth of Hive or buy $50,000 worth of Hive in one transaction.
Yeah, because you'll attract.
You know, if you want to be a serious coin, you need to be able to fill a $50,000, which even then that's not a big order, but at least then you can deal with some fairly significant buyers or some fairly significant sellers, you know. And then forget the layer two. I mean, it's 80,000 a day in transaction volume. I mean, how are you going to sell 100,000 in DEC, or how are you going to buy 100,000 in DEC?
Right.
You're not. It's just not going to happen. Liquidity carries. You know,
I tried to explain, but I got
value is zero. Is, you know, there's this multiplier of this price times volume, and that the volume is zero, then anything times zero is zero.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's mathematics. I'm sorry.
And this goes back to what we start about when John asked about the project, and it's like, here's the deal. If we're going to use this moniker of Web3,
okay,
and we talk about services, we talk about affiliate market on the blockchain, we can talk about music on the blockchain, we can talk about all this stuff on the blockchain. Okay, wonderful. The deal is, when all this stuff was being developed for the internet, the problem with the with today versus when the internet, when they were building the internet, everything wasn't marked to market it. In fact, there was no valuation on what the early cypherpunks were building because they weren't on the market. And here it's like everybody believes for some strange reason that these markets know what the hell they're talking about. And it's like, oh, this has value because the market says this is the number five blockchain in crypto. Well, it's a garbage blockchain, so who gives a shit? But that's what they believe. And everybody looks at the price and everybody looks at the market. And most people in crypto, I'd say 95 to 98% of people in crypto, it's all about the pricing and market activity. And then you have 2 to 5% maybe who are building in some way, shape, or form. And building is not only technical people, it's entrepreneurs, it's all different types of people. And it's like when you're building something, I mean, quite frankly, I could give a flying fuck what the price of CTP token is. I really don't give a shit. I have a fair bit of CTP. I don't care what the price is because that's not telling me what the hell's going on with the project.
Yeah.
What's telling me what's going on in the project is listening to the podcast that you have, reading the posts that you put out. When you say, this is what we're doing, here's our roadmap, that's what tells me what's going on in the project. That's what tells me what's going to add value to the project, not what the market sees. Because the market is a bunch of lunatics driven by fear and greed. That's what markets are driven by. And so when you have a project, especially startups, if you will, we'll call these startups.
Well, that's what this is going to be for me. You know, I'm starting it afresh.
It's startup, brand new direction, brand new ownership, brand new vision. And when you have a startup, it's like that's where the big money can be made. But, you know, it's like with VC capital. It's like, okay, well, this company, based on valuation of their latest round of seed funding, is worth $4 billion. Well, yeah, but they're losing, you know, $1 billion a year.
Right.
You know, so this is what people need to understand. If you want the big money, let's just use CTP as an example. And if CTP is going to 1,000x based upon the value, that's going to require a lot of building. It's going to require a plan. It's going to require activity. It's going to require a lot of things.
Right.
And if people are patient, and the market's not going to see that, follow that, or care about that. The market's going to go up. The market's going to go down. People are going to get pissed off. And all this other stuff. And it's like, well, the token price went down 45%. Who cares? That doesn't tell you what the value of the project is.
Give me a second. Speaking of decentralized, my son, who likes Discord better than the phone, just hit me up and said he's locked out of the back of the house over Discord right here. So I got to go unlock the door. I'll be right back.
Should have two entrances.
Yeah, no, it's all good. We're going to slow down.
That's the point I've always maintained about token prices and trying to build in a Web3 area where there's a token and it's like people believe what the market is saying is relevant to the project, and it's not. It has nothing to do with it.
He's referencing this. I got into this kind of like debate back and forth with a member on Hive, and they were trying to say that their token was worth X amount of money because, you know, remember the API issues. It was saying that they're, you know, they were $1 trillion program, and I'm trying to break it down and just explain. And it was just like, you know, beating a dead horse. I was just like, okay, yep, your token is worth billions of dollars. Okay, sure. If you, I said, you know, if there's zero volume, it's not worth anything. Because just like Rob said, if it's worth trillion times zero is still zero. So
try cashing out. Well,
yeah, try cashing out.
It's like when these idiots say, oh, HBD broke its peg. It's at 89 cents. Okay, go try buying it for that. Good luck getting it for that. Where are you going to go buy it for that? Just because some asshole on Bittrex or whatever the hell the non-Greek. I think it's
Bittrex. Bittrex.
Because somebody painted it in and there was a transaction for 3 HBD at 89 cents doesn't mean you're going to be able to go out and buy $10,000 of HBD at 89 and flip it for a buck. You know, try going on the internal market and buying for that. You're not going to get it. The problem is most people are involved in the market activity of crypto probably don't belong in the market activity because they don't even understand the basics of markets.
Dude,
it's like all the bitching and moaning over the last 2 years about a bear market. It's like, oh my God, the price is going down. It's like, what the hell? Do you think markets only go up? What kind of disconnect from reality do you have if you think markets should only be in bulls and there are no bear markets? There are no corrections. You are disconnected from reality. You are insane. Get the hell out of markets because you don't understand the basics.
Man, what did I come back to?
Oh, dude, no, task is going on. This is great. Just like Crystal Spider said, grabbing popcorn. Dude, so let's because we
you asked me about vision when I dipped.
Well, I was just I wasn't really asking per se. I was just drawing the parallel that your vision and the value ultimately of the CTP token and the CTP project is not based on what the market says the token is worth. It's based upon the vision, the effort, the work, everything you puts in and where you take it as, you know, and again, we use the term startup, which you affirm because, you know, for you, it is you're coming in new vision, new plan, new roadmap, new things you're putting together. And it's going to take you probably a while to spell some of this stuff out. But that's what really is going to ultimately determine the value of the token, because it's a value capture. It captures the value of the project, the network of the platform and what's being built.
So just to sort of give you the idea of how my hive mind works, right? And I am, you know, task. I'm gonna John gave you his spiel. For those of you tuning in at home, maybe I could just give a moment of my spiel. So task, you'll kind of know who I am. And I think the reason why John was fine with letting me take the reins on this. I was born a poor black child. I'm sorry. I had to give you the intro from the jerk. I mean, if you
Steve Martin's finest. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Not many listening are old enough to know what
right to know the jerk. Right.
Yeah.
My story. So I graduated from high school late 80s. I went to college, got a Bachelor of Arts degree in music. During that time, I was studying classical percussion from the percussionist at New Orleans Symphony. So he helped me to get into the Aspen Summer Music Festival. And that summer, I met Frank Zappa's former percussionist, Jonathan Haas. He got me into Peabody Conservatory in Baltimore, which was owned by Johns Hopkins. And I worked on my master's for 2 years in classical percussion, and I was a classically trained percussionist where I could play Brahms, Mozart, you know, all the classics on timpani, marimba, xylophone. You know, if it had a stick and you were supposed to hit it, I could. So I did all that, came back, had a 5-piece rock band, had a 3-piece jazz trio, taught at the University of Mobile, played percussion along the coast. Did really well, but you know, like the old joke goes, what's the difference between a drummer and a large pizza? A large pizza can feed a family of four. So I decided I needed to make some more cabbage, so I went into computer work for a while, lied my way into my first job and told them I knew HTML when I didn't, and then immediately went to the bookstore and bought the thickest book on HTML I could find. And then read it for 3 weeks straight and showed up and blew their socks off. So I've done a lot of stuff in my life. I've ran a 3,500 meal a month rescue mission for 3.5 years. I was the operations manager, ordered all the food, the cleaning supplies. We had a 30-bed transient shelter at night. You know, I excelled at that. When I worked at VMware, I went from global technical lead for a certain product to solutions architect, the senior solutions architect. So I did well there. I've done well in math, and I'm good at all that junk. The only problem is on leap day of 2020, I fell down my stairs, and I woke up the next day in the hospital. And I had given myself a brain bleed and I lost a section of my brain about the size of a marble. So I tell people that I didn't lose all my marbles. I just lost one. But I lost an important one due to the brain bleed because it's right inside just behind my left eye in the part of your brain that does executive function. So I have a tendency to be a squirrel. So I write down everything. And if I don't write it down, I simply won't do it. But that changed me fundamentally. And at that point, I decided, you know, do I really want to stay in this rat race and be at the front of VMware with these customers to where when they call me on the phone, it's kind of like Mr. Wolf from Pulp Fiction, you know, where it's like I'm the problem solver or the cleaner, you know, where the company is hemorrhaging all this money. Those calls are not fun to be on. Yeah, it's exciting to work with some of these huge clients, but the pucker factor is so high that if you go to stand up, everybody takes their chair with them, you know? So I just decided that when they were going to let me go, I had been doing, I initially used Tive as a way to post dad jokes and memes and videos to help my brain rebuild. And I looked up John because I knew him like 20 years ago or a long time ago when he did Hit Exchange News and all that stuff way back in the day, you know, a long time ago. I remember him from then. And I remember as a marketer, he was always like, people do business with those they know, like, and trust. And then lo and behold, a few years ago, I ran into him again. And guess what he's saying? People do business with those they know, like, and trust. You know, so my whole thing is like, he's made a career out of telling people you can be an ethical marketer, and he's been one. So I trusted him, you know, and when I started looking at all the different ways to retrain myself on some marketing, you know, Blaine and John and Eliana's program seemed to be really good stuff. So I sort of jumped at the opportunity to purchase it because I think I can bring more of it onto the blockchain. You know, but my goal at first is I don't want to rock the boat at first because Blaine's code is kind of dense. And, you know, I've been re-upping my PHP and trying to read through some of this code, you know, to make sure that I understand what it is that I'm looking at before I do a single change. You know, so that way I don't want to be the guy that says, oh, I know what I'm doing, and sticks my head in the engine and, you know, gets my head chopped off. You know, so I'm going to wait until I know exactly what I need to change in this code and understand it. You know, it's one thing to write code. It's another one trying to understand somebody else's code. So, you know, I'm getting better at PHP just by reading Blaine's code right now. So for the short term, it's just going to be get the boat right, get all the things working, Ninja Kick listener so the token's working again, provide value for CTP through quality posts and videos and stuff, both on the clicktrackprofit.com and then mirroring that on CTPtalk.com so that it builds value, and then showing people by actually doing it myself how it works. If I can't consume my own dog food, then I'm a fraud. And if I can't use the things that I believe in, then, you know, I can't teach them to others, nor will I. You know, so that's my goal is, you know, John's teaching is good, and I'm just going to double down on it and just push this stuff, you know, to people that have a need for it. Because, you know, every time I see one of these questions, go search for the quote, how do I, and look at all the how do I questions. You could make money right there just posting blog posts on this stuff, getting the upvotes and taking that and converting it into affiliate marketing through other channels. You know, I just don't see how that can't possibly win on teaching people how to offset cost, you know, until eventually you're doing it for profit, which is the, you know, the goal of affiliate marketing. So I have plans to bring it more towards the blockchain, even if it's just taking some of the content and just simply moving it onto the blockchain. You know, I've been thinking about ways that maybe advertising, if there's, I know that with listeners, there's a way to rotate stuff, but I was like, you know, what if there's a possibility of building even image exchanges or banner exchanges on the blockchain itself, if it'll handle, if the nodes can handle that much traffic, you know, so there's some thoughts I had about that, but, you know, it's meant for information and yeah, you know, 3Speak. Notwithstanding, you know, I'm very interested in how it is that you're going to do the music on the blockchain. Yeah, I heard that mentioned earlier, and I'm very interested in that because large volumes of data being moved and stored on nodes to where you have to have an immutable blockchain to where changes to the material simply is another addition later in the blockchain. I'm very interested in how music's going to fit that. So that's what I plan on doing with it. Stay the course, but put more of it on the chain and just show people at first how you can offset costs because I'm good at growing lists. You know, I kind of grow lists like mushrooms. If I come up with an idea, I make a list for it. And guess what? I get subscribers for it because it's not difficult if you're interesting and you're not a bullshit artist or a spammer. You know, so.
Dude, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited to see what you're going to bring. And, you know, again, you know, for anyone that's listening to this, nothing's changed. You guys just keep going, doing what you're doing. A lot of the back end stuff will get sorted out before no one will even know what's happening. So appreciate you, man. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for letting me bogart your show. I really hate that I had to go let my kid in the back door because Taskmaster was going on a rant. And I was like,
oh John, shit, he's legendary.
Rant. Man. Yeah, I'll have to go listen to the recording.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone will ignore everything you and I said. They'll just listen to Task's rant. That's what this show is about. It's listening
to Task's rant. Well, I have to play up to Tokenize. That's what Tokenize keeps coming back each episode is he True. Only comes in for the rants. That's all he cares about.
True.
Yeah. You know what we look like, though, with the three of us here? It's like, which one of these bald guys took your tokens?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well,
it's a lineup.
It's just Taskmaster's always got the username. You know, people know I'm John, they know I'm Rob. They just know Task is Task. So Task is the guy to study. Just joking. Thank you guys for coming and rocking with us. Have a fantastic weekend. We will see you on Tuesday. Toodles.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Cryptomaniacs podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show and look forward to hanging out with you again next week.